We begin the current daf Masechtas Brachos daf Nun. We begin on the bottom of daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom of the Amud, and we begin the Gemara that was explaining the Mishnah, which introduced to us the different types of Nischayis, the different types of versions that are said when the people join together to make what's called the Birchas HaZimun. That it depends how many people there are, that will depend on what the type of Nusach there is. When the minimum that has to be is three people getting together. But then when there's four, it's a different bracha. When there's 10, when there's 11, everyone, it changes. So now the Gemara introduces an idea, which it will ask on from our Mishnah. So the Gemara begins. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says, La'olam al yotzi odem es asim menakal. A person should never remove himself from the general category of people. And that is, that although with four people, a person is permitted to say to the three people, as we learned in the Mishnah, Baruch Hu, that you go ahead and you make the Zimun, because although it requires three people to have a Zimun, when there's four, so it's, so to speak, more of a Chashivis, when he tells them, you yourself, you're a group of three, you can go ahead, and he, so to speak, like the shot, and he says, Baruch Hu, you go ahead, you make the brachas, and so to speak, it's like the prereq that's introducing the Zimun. So that's what the Mishnah says. So although he's permitted to do that, however, Shmuel is saying that it's better not to remove yourself from the congregation and better say the Nusach of Nevarich, which is what was said in the Mishnah when three people say it, and not remove yourself from everybody else, which Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi, which the Yerushalmi asks. But we know that when someone gets up for an aliyah, or from the chazan, that's the shliach tzibur, he also says, Baruch Hu Es Hashem. He tells everybody, you should go ahead and bless Hashem. He's like prompting them. So why is there any difference over here when we say when there's three people, you say Nevarach and everyone's together, but when there's four, he tells to the three Baruch Hu, and he's removing himself. Why don't we say the same thing by an aliyah and by when someone is the Shliach Tzibur? So Tosfos says there it's different because since he says Baruch Es Hashem Hamavairach, he's not removing himself from the category because the extra word Hamavairach says that he's also blessing Hashem. He's including Baruch Es Hashem, Yushabed and Hashem Hamavairach, that is blessed. So therefore he's including himself in blessing Hashem, so he's not removing himself. So anyway, Shmuel says that a person, although he's allowed to say Baruch Hu when there's four, so he's telling the three people to do the Zimun, he shouldn't remove himself. He should be like when there's three and they should say Nevarach. So the Gemara brings Tanan. We learn now Mishnah, B'shloisha b'hu oima Baruch Hu. When there's three and him, who's the Mezamen, he doesn't say Nevarach shachal m'shloi like you say when you have three people. Rather, he tells them, Baruch Hu, go ahead and do that. So you see from our Mishnah that that's better. In other words, he's telling them, you're a Rabbim, and even if I'm not with you, so it's almost like a more of a chashivis. So how could Shmuel say that a person should not remove himself and he should not say Baruch Hu if our Mishnah says explicitly when there's four, meaning three and him, that he should say Baruch Hu and not say Nevarach? So the Gemara says Eima, and now we go on to the top of Nun Amad Aleph, Av Baruch Hu. Umikamokim Nevarach Adif. What our Mishnah was saying was that even Baruch Hu also works. That in other words, when there's four people, you don't have to just say Nevarach. You could also say Baruch Hu, but Nevarach is better, and that is because you'd rather be in the klal, in the general category of others that are blessing and being blessed, that it's better to do that. And that's what Shmuel is saying, although our Mishnah says that you could say Baruch Hu, it's only that you could and not that that's better. It's better to say Nevarach. Now the Gemara brings a proof for Shmuel that Nevarach is better. We learned in the following halacha from the Tanoim. Vav nechlokin ad yud. The Mishnah later tells us that when there's six people that are eating a meal together, that then they could go ahead and split into two different groups of three until they reach 10. And that is, if let's say you have six people, so they could split into two different groups, and each one can make their own zimun because there's not any diminishment, so to speak, of the kavod Hashem. Each one is making full-fledged zimun. But that's only up until 10. In other words, if there's seven or eight, even if nine, you can go ahead and when you have eight or seven, you can split into two different groups. When you have nine, you can split into three groups of three. However, when there's 10, then already it's the next Ramah, the next level, where then you say not just Nevarach Shachal Mishloi, you say Nevarach Elikeinu Shachal Mishloi, you mention Hashem's name. Then you can't split up into different groups because then you're going to be diminishing from that covet of that Zimun of Elikeinu. So then that would only be until when you get to, let's say, 20, then you could split into two groups of 10, and then because then, again, you won't be losing the Elikeinu. So now the Gemara develops the proof. If it's like what Shmuel just said, that saying Nevarich, that let us bench Hashem, is better than Baruch Hu, that telling the others you should bless, and I'm, so to speak, prompting you. So that would make sense why when there's six people, you could split up into two groups of three. But if saying Baruch Hu, when let's say there's six people and one will tell the five, he'll prompt them that to say Baruch Hu, you should go ahead. So how are you allowed to split up? And that is, we said that if they want to, they could split up. But before you were able to say Baruch Hu, and now you can't because you have just two groups of three, and by three you can't say Baruch Hu because one can't tell two to do a Zimun because you need three. Elalav Shema Minon Nevarach Adr Shema Minon. Rather, from here you could prove to what Shmuel was saying that saying Nevarach is better than saying Baruch Hu. And what the Mishnah was just telling us is that also it works to say Baruch Hu. But it's not better, because or else we wouldn't let you split up six into two groups of three, because then you'd be losing that, so to speak, extra milah. Baruch Hu, obviously it's not a milah, and the varach is just as good, if not better, because then you're not removing yourself from everybody else. Tanya Mahoch is similar, we learned in the Braisa, that says, Bein sha'am a baruch hu, bein sha'am a nevarach, ein toivsin oysa akach. It says that whether the one who is being mezamen, whether he says baruch hu, he's telling others to go ahead and do the Zimun, or whether he's enjoining himself with them and says, let us do it, they don't seize him on that. In other words, it's not something that he did wrong. However, but the ones that are the perfectionists, the ones that are medaktik and the very meticulous and that everything should be exactly as it is, so they seize him on it and they say that it's improper what you did, again, because it's better to be part of the tzibur. As we know that in the Trikin, the abbreviations of the word Tzibur, Tzadi, Beis, Reish, Tzadikim, Bein, and Rishom, it's better to be part of the Klal than to remove yourself. Therefore, they would say that this, that it says in the Mishnah, it was Af Baruch Hu Kama, that you also could say Baruch Hu, but it's better to be, like Shmuel said, to be included in the group. And that's why if they said Baruch Hu, they would have, so to speak, a taina on the person, that because rather you should say Nevarach and not remove yourself. So now the Braisa continues and says that umi bechaysev shel adam nikrim tamachachuhu imlav. That from the way a person makes his blessings, his brachas, you could tell if he's a tamachachum or not. Keitzad. So the Braisa says that Rebbe Omer uvetuvay harezat tamachachum. If when he's saying the zimun, he says uvetuvay chayinu, and that through his goodness, that's how we live, so he's a tamachachum. However, if he says umituvay, that and from his goodness, harezat bur, so then he's an ignoramus. And that is because that person that says, and from his goodness, is diminishing, so to speak, the kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he's making it sound like just enough to get by. And from his goodness, he gives us, like, so to speak, something just to get by. So therefore, you could tell how he says, if tuvay umituvay, if he's a Tamal Chacham or not. So Amalei Abayi L'Avdimi V'Aksiv, how can you say that umituvay is incorrect and it's diminishing Hashem's, so to speak, chesed? But there's a pasuk that David HaMelech says, umibrchascha yivayrach beis avdecha la'olam, and that from your blessings should be blessed the house of your servant forever. So you see that David HaMelech was saying, so to speak, when he was beseeching HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was saying, from your blessing, and he didn't say, through your blessing. So how can we say that that's, so to speak, what an ignoramus would say if David HaMelech himself said that? So the Gemara answer is, b'she'el shani, that when it comes to requesting, that's different. In other words, that whoever is requesting something from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like a pauper coming, knocking on the door, who he doesn't have the audacity to ask for something great. So therefore he says, and from your kindness, Hashem, please give me something. But when you're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you thank him for the full, the whole gamut that he gives HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it's through his goodness he gives us everything that we need. But then the Gemara asks, it would seem not like that, because B'she'el Nami Yoksev, even by request, we find that it says, Harchiv Picha V'Amalei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael, open up wide your mouth, and I'll fill it. So we see that even regards to requests, Hashem says, open up as much as you can. Ask everything that you desire, and I'll give you everything you need. So you see how Hashem says that you should say, so to speak, everything. So the Gemara says, Ahu b'divrei Tarkisim. That request is not just any request. Any request, like David HaMelech says, just give me something. Umi b'chascha. Here Hashem says, I'll give you whatever you ask. That's in reference to divrei Torah, to the Ruchnis, that a person could open up his mouth wide, and Hashem will fill it. Similar type of a halacha, the Gemara says, that Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Rebbe Omer v'tuvay chayinu hareza tamal chacham. But someone says that he's saying the nusach of the Zimun, v'tuvay chayinu, and that through his goodness that we have our lives, so he's a tamal chacham. But if he says v'tuvay chayim, and through his goodness there is life, hareza bor, so he's ignoramus. And the reason is because he's removing himself from the category of life. In other words, he could have said, I'm included, and through his kindness that I have my life. And so he says, there is life, so he's ignoramus. Nerhabloi masn ipcha, but the Nerhabloi, they learned exactly the opposite, that it's better to say ubetubi chayim, because then you're including everybody in the world, not just yourself. You say chayinu, so our lives, whoever's doing the zimun, but now you're including everybody in the world, that through his kindness there's life, they said it's better. However, the Gemara says, v'lez hilchasik nar bloi, but the halacha is not like them, and the halacha is, as our minig is, uvetuvay chayinu, that through his kindness, that we include ourselves in that bracha, and thanking Hashem, that through his kindness, through his goodness, we have our life. A similar type of halacha, the Gemara says, that Amr b'yechnan, If someone says that let us bless the one that we ate from his, so he's a Talmud Chacham. But if he says the word lemisha chalnu mishaloi, hariz abur. But if he says to the one that we have eaten from his, so he's ignoramus. And that is because if you say nevarach shachalnu mishaloi, it's mashma that Hashem is the only one that everybody eats from his. Let us give thanks. Let us bless to the one that we have eaten from. And who's that one? Well, there's only one. But if you say lemit to the one that we ate from, it's mashma that there are many those that this one feeds that one, and this one feeds that one. And according to what he's saying, it would sound like he's giving the bracha to the balabais, who is the immediate host that gave them food. That's improper. You shouldn't say lemi, you should say nevarach shachalnu mishaloi, which would be mashma, there's only one, and obviously the one that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says, Omalei Rav Acha b'Ridei Rav Lo Rav Ashi, how can you say that lemi is improper? Because it sounds like to that one, that's mashma, that, but there are other ones, v'amrinim, but we say on the Lil Seder, we say that lemisha asalaviseinu belonu es kolanisim elu. We say that to the one that did for our fathers and to us all these incredible miracles. Why are we saying lemi to that one? As much as there are other gods or other chas shalom that are doing nisim to others. So the Gemara says, "Amalei hasam muchacha milsa." There, it's obvious because we're talking about ma'isa nisim that we can't say that there are many. It's obviously not talking about a flesh and blood. So when we're talking about the one that does nisim, it's obvious in reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the Gemara says, Mano ben nisi, Kodesh Baruch Hu, who is the one that does miracles? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore there's nothing wrong with saying lemi. Now the Gemara continues regarding the neschayis of the Birchas HaZimon, that Amir B'Yechanan, Nevarach Shechanu Mishaloi, Reza Tamachachem. As some say the Baruch, but the Bach is Magi Nevarach, that if they say that let us bless the one that we have eaten from his Mishaloi, that's sounding like you're benching Hashem, so he's a Talmud Chacham. But if you say that Nevarach al Hamazin Shechanu, let us bless for the food that we have eaten, Hariz Abor, so he's an Amarz, he's ignoramus, because it sounds like he's blessing the food, because he's saying Nevarach al Hamazin Shechanu, let us give thanks on the food that we have eaten. It sounds like almost that they're giving thanks to the food. It should be Nevarach Shechanu Mishaloi, let us bless to the one that we have eaten from his. So now the Gemara says that Amar Vunbrid of Yeshua Loi Marin El Begimel, the Lekashim Shemaim, this to say the Nusach that let us give thanks, let us bless on the food that we have eaten is only a problem when there's only three, when you don't mention Hashem's name. You don't say Elikain, you say Nevarach Shechanu Mishaloi from the one that we have eaten. Similar to what we said before, but when there's 10 people and you say Elikeinu, so then it's obvious that what you're saying it for, because you mentioned Tashem, so then there's no problem at saying Alamazin Shalchanu. As the Gemara brings a proof, because it's not in our Mishnah. Mishnah said that just like the one that's the leader of the Zeman, that just like he benches, so too that's how they respond to him. And how do they respond to him? Baruch Hashem Elikei Yisrael, Hashem should be blessed, the God of Israel. Again, we're mentioning Hashem's name over here. Elikei Tzvaka Yisyeshev HaKuvim, Al HaMazin Shalchanu. You see, our Mishnah specifies that the way you're saying it is on the food that we have eaten. And we don't say Shalchanu Mishaloi. So therefore, we see a riot to what we just mentioned, that when you're already saying Hashem's name, so it's obvious we're thanking Hashem, so there's nothing wrong with saying on the food that we have eaten. Obviously, I'm not giving thanks to the food. I'm giving thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now the Gemara returns to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, one of the shittas in our Mishnah said, Echad asara v'echad asara ribuy, that whether it's 10 people or whether it's 10 myriads, which would be 100,000 people, it's all the same. Once you reach 10, that plateau, you say, Nevarach Elikeinu Shechanu Mishaloi, and you don't change it and make greater and greater accolades. It always stays at Elikeinu. So the Gemara asked, but Haguf HaKasha, there's an internal contradiction in our Mishnah. That is because Amrit Echad Asara, the Echad Asara Riboy, the Mishnah, the way in the chronological order and the way it was written, it first said that whether it's 10 people or 10 myriads, doesn't make a difference. Al-Makya Dodinin, we see that it's all the same. V'hadikatani, and then the Mishnah right after the next thing says that B'meyo Imr, by 100 you say like this, another higher accolade. B'elefo Imr, by 1,000 you say another higher accolade. B'riboy Imr, by 10,000 you say even higher, they're all different. So how can you say that whether it's 10 or 10 myriads all the same? Then you right away, you go ahead and you change, and you say each one, it changed accordingly. So Rabbi Yosef loy kasha. Rabbi Yosef glili Rabbi Akiva, that there's a machlokes, and it's brought down in our Mishnah, but the order is not exactly how it's written, and therefore, it has to be understood in that context. As the Gemara brings, it's not, we learned in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yosef glili aymer lefi roiv hakol himavarchim. The Tana that was saying that it depends on how many people there are, that's Rabbi Yosef Glili that's mentioned later. That he says, according to the multitudes of the congregation, how many people there are, that's what type of bracha it's going to be. Shenema, as he brought the pasuk, b'makhelos baruch elikim, that in the gatherings, then you will bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that depending on the kila, how large the people are, that will define how many, what type of bracha is going to be. On that, what is the way the Mishnah ended, which is he's the one that said before, that there is no difference. That just like we find when people come to shul, whether there's 10 people in the minyan, 100 people in the minyan, 1,000 people in the minyan, it doesn't make a difference how many people, it's always going to be the same. Baruch Hu Es Hashem, you're not going to change the different nusach. So too by Birch Samazim, by the Zimun, once it reaches 10 and there's a minyan, there's nothing greater, so to speak, than that. We're not going to change it. And he's the one that says that whether 10 or 10 myriads. So now the Gemara elaborates on these two sheets. Rabbi Kiva Haikrod, Rabbi Yisrael Glili, my overlay. What does he do with the Pasuk? Rabbi Yisrael Glili brought a Pasuk that says, B'makelois, that according to the gatherings that there are, that's how we will bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it seemed to be that depending on how many people there are, we'll change. So why does Rabbi Kiva hold that once it reaches 10, it doesn't make it if it's 100 or 1,000 or 10,000? Chayre, it would make it sound like it should change. So the Gemara says, Mibayile, he needs it for a different drasha. Like in the Tanya, it's written in the Braisa. Hayir Meya Omer, from where do we know that even the fetuses in the wombs of their mothers, they said Shira on the Yam, by the Yamsev, by the when they were crossing the Kriyas Yamsev after leaving Mitzrayim? How do we know that even they said Shira in the womb? Shnemez, it says in the Pasuk, B'makelo Yisborchu Elikim Hashem, that in the gatherings of the that there were when Klai Yisrael was there leaving, they bless Elikim Hashem, Mimikar Yisrael, from the source of Yisrael. And the Makar is always a term that's used for the womb, because that's the source of where Klai Yisrael comes from the womb, and therefore we know that even in the womb, in the Makar, they were saying Shirat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'idach, but Rabbi Yitzhak Lili, Mimikar Nafka, he learns two drashas from that Pasuk. The first half, B'makelo Yisborchu Elikim, is a reference to saying that according to how many people there are. And the second half, B'makor Yisrael, also teaches us that you know that the children in the fetuses in the mother's womb, they also said Shira. And it's not astute to learn our two drashas from that pasuk. So Amar Rava, Rava says, what is the halacha? Halacha is Kribikiva, that by Birchas HaMazon, whether it's 10 people or 10 myriads, it doesn't make a difference. The halacha will be that you always say Nevarach Elikeinu Mishaloi, and it won't change accordingly to say Elikei Tzavakos and Yeshiva Kruvim, it won't change. So Gemara brings a story related to this. Ravina Rav Chama Barbuzi Iklul Beresh Gelusa. They went to the Hazar Resh Gelusa. Come Rav Chama V'Kamahada Beimeh. So Rav Chama got up, and there was a lot of people, obviously, by the Hazar Resh Gelusa, who was the leader of Klal Yisrael. He was looking to get 100 people for benching. So I'm like, Ravina Litzrichas. Ravina told me, you don't have to. Hochi Amarova, Halacha Kibikiva. Doesn't make a difference, 10 or 100. It's always going to be the same of Elikeinu. So therefore, if you're trying to get more people to make greater Kavav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not going to change it. So now Gemara continues with two Mamorim from Rava, also regarding the Halachas of Zimun, that Amarova, Ki Achlinen Rifta Beresh Gelusa, Mevechinen Gimel Gimel. When we used to eat bread, in other words, when we used to have our meal by the house of the Resh Gelusa that we just mentioned that they used to have by the Resh Gelusa, who was the leader of Klal Yisrael, he obviously had Sudas or the Talmid HaChacham. So he used to bench together three at a time. And that is that the Resh Gelusa used to have very long meals. And us, you know, we had groups of three people when we finished our meal. So then quietly we would go ahead and say Rabbeis Mevam Bench, and they used to do their own little Zimun. And then we would sit there after we'd make our brachas until the Resh Gelusa finished his meal. And then he would make a zimun with all that were around him with a great, you know, pomp and the kol ram. And the Gemara is going to ask soon that, so why weren't they yaitza with the Resh Gelusa? They were sitting. It's not like sometimes by a chas and the people are anxious to get out and they make their own little zimun and they get out. Here they were sitting anyway, so why didn't they wait to hear the zimun from the Resh Gelusa? But that's what he says, that we used to make our own little zimuns of three. To which the Gemara asks, but Levechu Yud Yud. Let them at least make groups of 10 where they could say Nevarach Likainu, that's the greater cover that we say that you shouldn't split up when you have 10 and make groups of 3 because you're going to lose out on the Likainu. So the Gemara answers that Shomer Resh Gelusa, because then the Resh Gelusa would hear and it'll get upset. And that is if they would make groups of 10 and say Rabbeisai, so the one who's being Mezamen, he would have to make it a little bit louder that everybody could hear him. And the Resh Gelusa is going to hear. He's going to get upset that they're making their own little groups in public and it's not a cover for him that he's still having his meal. So that even though that they're going to exclude themselves now from saying Hashem's name and saying Elikeinu, and that when the Resh Gelusa is going to go ahead and make his Zimun later with Haskaras Hashem, they're not going to be Yaitzah because it's going to be too late, like Rabbi Tosfos says in a different Gemara, that you can't do Zimun L'Mafrei retroactively once they bench, it's too late. Still, in spite of that, the Gemara is going to explain that they prefer this option of making groups of 3, not of 10, and therefore they're losing out from saying Elikeinu, and they're not going to be able to answer when the Resh Gelusa does it because they already benched already. Because since it's going to make such a ruckus when they have 10 at a time, that they're having so many people doing it, and the Beresh Gelusa is going to get upset, And when Rish Galus is doing it, they won't be able to hear because there's too many people, and therefore they're not going to be able to be yaitzah, as the Gemara says. But nefke be brachas of the Rish Galusa. Why weren't they just yaitzah with the bracha of the Rish Galusa? He's the one that's the yeshiv roish. He's the mar da astra, and he's making the brachas haziman. Why didn't they wait if they're waiting anyway to hear the ziman that way? So the Gemara says, I did the avshe kula alma lo shmiya. Since everybody was making so much noise, they couldn't even hear. They didn't have a mic system. So they didn't hear, so they weren't able to be yaitzer, as many shitas say, you even have to hear every word until azan sakel. And since that way, so they made their own. So the Gemara says that Amar Rabba Tesva, Hani Gimel de Karchi Rifta Behadi Adadi, when you have three people that are eating their meal together, Bekodim Chad Meinayu Ubaruch Ledaite, and one person gets up, and then on his own, he goes ahead and he makes Birchas HaMazon for himself without a Zimun. So the Gemara says, oh, now there's two left that didn't and they didn't bench it. So the Gemara says, Inu Nafkin Bezima today. They could be Yaitz their Chiyuv with his Zima. In other words, they could include him to answer for what when they want to do the Zima. Ihu Lo Nafik Bezima today, but he can't be Yaitz with their Zima. Why not? If you say, In Zima Mefreya, that's similar to Halacha that we just mentioned before regarding the previous Gemara, that you can't do it retroactively. And that is, once you benched Birchas HaMazon, although you could respond still because you were part of the meal, and the two people who were the Rav, they weren't Yotzi yet, therefore you could answer for them. But you yourself, once you benched, you can't be Yotzi, you're Zimel Mafreya, and therefore in this type of situation where these people with the Resh Galusa, although they weren't going to be able to be Yotzi retroactively, they still made their own groups of three because of the Bush of the Resh Galusa. They couldn't do it. It would have been too disrespectful. So therefore they weren't able to have the 10 people because he would have heard, and they couldn't wait to hear from him because they wouldn't be able to hear it anyway. So therefore they made groups of three on their own. So now the Gemara continues from our Mishnah that Rabbi Shmuel Aimer, Shmuel argued on Rabbi Kiva. It was a side idea but Rabbi Kiva was saying that there's no difference between 10 people or 10 myriads. It's just like we find in the shul when they come in, you say Baruchas Hashem, that's what the Chazan says, no matter if there's 10 people, 100,000 people. So therefore, it's no difference for Birchas HaMazon for the Birchas HaZimun. So Rabbi Shmuel said, it's not that the Chazan says Baruchas Hashem. He says not only that Baruchas Hashem, that you should bless Hashem, he's telling them, but HaMavarech, that's blessed. And like our meaning is that we say that Baruchas Hashem HaMavarech. So the Gemara brings a story related to this. Rafam Bar Papa Iklud Be Kanish Da Abe Giber. Rafam Bar Papa, he went to the shul in Abe Giber. Kom Kor B'Sifr. So he got up and he had an aliyah. Vamar Baruchas Hashem. He said Baruchas Hashem Be'ishtik V'lo Am HaMavarech. And he was quiet and he didn't say HaMavarech. So Avshakul Alma Baruchas Hashem HaMavarech. So everyone started tumbling. So what do you mean? You're supposed to say Baruchas Hashem HaMavarech. So Amar Rava. So Rava commented on what Rafam Bar Papa had done. He called him Pasi Uchma. It's a term that many times mentioned the Gemara, like you're a black vessel. In other words, why are you doing that? Bahadi plukta lamalach, why are you getting involved in this machloikis? You should have done better like Rabbi Shmuel, because even Rabbi Kiva agrees that when you say hamavarich, it's better. Just Rabbi Kiva was saying that you don't need to say it. But even he agrees it's yaitzah and even better. V'oid, and moreover, ha'nog al-makir Rabbi Shmuel, the world is already knowing that the meaning is to do like Rabbi Shmuel, to say baruch Hashem baruch. So why are you going ahead and saying baruch Hu es Hashem? And the minig is, and that's how it's proper, that a person should say Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMavayrach, and not just Baruch Hu Es Hashem, like Rabbi Shmuel, and not like Rabbi Kiva. Now we continue on to the next Mishnah. The Gemara continues on the theme of this parak regarding the Chiyuvim of Zimun, when you have a joint bracha, when people eat a bread meal together, three or more people, and they go ahead and they make, so to speak, what's called a Rabbeis and a Varech, before they go ahead and they say the Neschoyes that's said before Birchas HaMazon. So now, the question is about, when is it that there's already a chiyuv of zimun that you're not allowed to leave? So the Mishnah begins. Gimel sha'achlu ka'achas. When you have three people eating together as one, einan rishon l'cholik, they're not allowed to separate because there's already a chiyuv, there's an obligation of a zimun. So therefore, one would leave. It wouldn't be anymore. You're not allowed to leave. V'chein dalad, v'chein chamishim, if there's four people or five people, that even if he's going to leave, they're not going to lose the Zeman, because if it is four, there's still going to be three left. But he himself has his own personal obligation that was already incumbent upon every single person to be Yitzhak the Chiyuv of Zeman, so therefore he's not allowed to leave. However, Vav Nechlakim, when there are six people eating together, they're allowed to split into two different groups, that they'll make their own Zeman and they'll make their own Zeman, because it's the same Zeman that they say, the same Nusach of Rabbi Yisrael Mevav Benchim, but that's Adasar until 10 people. But when once it reaches 10, they're not allowed to split, because then they already had the obligation of saying a Zeman, a higher level Zeman, so to speak, without mentioning Hashem's name of Elikeinu. So therefore you can't split into different groups, because then they'll be losing the Madrega of Elikeinu. V'asara, inachlokan atchof, and from 10 and up, they can't split either until there's 20. And then, if they want to, they could split up into two groups of 10, because then each one will still have the ma'ilah of saying Elikeinu. So now the Mishnah continues about who is mitzaref with who. In other words, we say when there's three people eating together, what's considered together? Let's say he's sitting there and he's sitting there. What would be considered that they're having a joint meal that they can make a birchas haziman? So the Mishnah says, shtei chaburos shoyoichlis babayis echad. If there were two groups eating in one house, sometimes you have this type of case, like for example in a restaurant, that's two people eating at this table, one person eating at that table, could they join? So the Mishnah says, "Bizman shemiksasin roin elu es elu." When some of those who are sitting here could see those who are sitting there, har elu mitstarf on the zim, and then they could join together at the zim, and they're considered eating together. Vimlav elu mezam laatzman ve elu mezam laatzman. If not, if they can't see each other, then they have to make their own zimun, and they have to make their own zimun. They can't join together. Then the Mishnah ends off with a different halacha that ein mevarchen al hayayin at sheyitin l'teichem mayim divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Now, Eliezer says you can't make a bracha on wine until you put water into it, because it's not fit to drink, and therefore you can't make a bracha on the wine until you put in water and when you dilute it. But Chacham say no, you could make a bracha, although it's undiluted wine, you can drink it and you'll make a bracha on it, even if you didn't put in water. So now the Gemara goes and wants to discuss this that we mentioned in our Mishnah, that three of them are eating together, they can't split up because there's a chiyuv. So the Gemara says, "My kamash malon." What is the chiddush of our Mishnah that there's a chiyuv of zimun on three people? Tanin, we already learned this one time. We said the gimel shachol kachas chayav and lazamen. When there are three people eating together as one, so they have an obligation to do this birchas zimun. Why do we need our Mishnah to repeat that? So the Gemara gives three different mahalchim, three different terutzim, what the chiddush that our Mishnah would be saying that we wouldn't have known just from that other source. So the Gemara says, "Hokamash malan ki ha'damer Reb Abba Amar Shmuel." It's coming to tell us, similar to the halacha that an Amar had told us, that gimel sheyashvu lechol ka'achas, that when you have three people that are sitting to eat as one, va'adayin lo ochu, and they still, and even though they didn't even start eating yet, in Rosh Hashanah they're still not allowed to split up, because since they had already sat down and they had that intent, that already made, so to speak, a chalois kviyas, and therefore they can't split up and they have to make a zima together. Lashon Acha, another version of what the Chiddush of our Mishnah would be saying. Amar Baba, Amar Shmuel, Hachik Tani. Our Mishnah was saying as follows. Gimel Sheyashav Lech Lekaachas, when you have three people sitting as one. Afa Pishakol Echad Be'echad Oichal Mikikari. Even if they're all eating from their own loaf, they're eating from their own meals, in Rishol Chalik, still they're not allowed to split, in spite of the fact that they're eating from their own food, but since they're eating together, it's enough to make a chalois, to make a chiv of Zima. And the third test the Gemara gives, Inami ki hoder avhuna d'amr avhuna, as the halacha of avhuna, that he says, gimel shebo mi gimel chaburis, that this is a unique case when you have three individuals that came from three different groups of three, that in rishon l'chalik, they're not allowed to split up. And that is, as the Gemara says, that the Gemara qualifies this, but that amr avchizdav hu shebo mi gimel chaburis shel gimel ni'adam. But it's not enough that they came from groups, but it has to be that each one came from a group of three people. And that is, that again, like we said, that we have three people, three individuals that came from three different groups, and each group had three people. And therefore, they had an obligation of a zimun already because they were with an original group of three. And then each one person from each group left, and then those three people came together and they formed a new group. So then they have an obligation to make zimun, and they're not allowed to split, because since they already had their kviyas, they already had their established chiyuv of zimun from their original groups, so even though they didn't eat now together as a new group, but since they had already finished their meal with their first people, with their first groups, and now when they come together, even if they didn't eat together, they have to make a zimun, they have their chiyuv already. So we have three different chidushim that possibly pshat in our Mishnah. Either one, even if they didn't start eating yet, or two, that each one is eating from their own food, their own bread, and still they have to make a zimun. Or a third chiddush possibly our Mishnah is telling us that even if you have three different people from three different groups that come together and they're not even eating together, but since they already have the chiyuv zimun and now they're three people that all have that chiyuv, so they make the zimun together, that would be the chiddush of our Mishnah. However, the Gemara now qualifies this last halacha that we mentioned regarding when you have three people from three different groups and now they join together, that they still have their chiyuv, and therefore even if they're not eating together, they have to make zimun together. Amar Rava, Rava says, and now we continue on to Nunamid Beis, it would depend. We didn't say this, that they make a zimun out together. That's only if they didn't go ahead and, so to speak, make a zimun on for themselves in their original place. In other words, each group originally was a group of four. And then one person had to leave and take care of his thing. So there were still three people there. And they didn't include the one that left because they had three on their own. So then we say when now these three people from these groups of four come together, they have to make their own zimun. But if they already made zimun on them, they already had included them in their original zimun. That is, that if, let's say, these groups that they were part of, that they were, let's say, three people, and he joined them with their zimun, as we say the halacha that's brought in the different Gemara on Memheimed Beis, that says that Koyin Loi Mezamnelab, they call him and they say, you know, he's already out the door. They say, okay, just answer for us for the zimun. And the groups had already made the zimun with them. So even though he wasn't there only for, let's say, to answer Nevarach and Baruch Shechal Mishaloi, but he didn't stay for, so to speak, for the bracha of the first bracha, and therefore he wasn't Yaitza. Now that they're coming to go ahead and make their benching, they can't do zimun because it already was removed from him his chiyuv zimun because he answered for the original group that he was there. So therefore, it doesn't come back anymore. Once it departs because he answered to the original group that he was from, it won't come back now again. Although he didn't bench yet and he, so to speak, wasn't yoitz with that zimun, but since it departed when he answered for his original group, now when these three people come together, they can't go ahead and make a new zimun. As the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Mani Menam Minala." Where do I get this yisoid that once it departs, when they split up, so to speak, that it doesn't come back again together when these three people who had the chiyuv zimun, that it should come back together and create a new zimun? That's not, we learned in the Mishnah. He compares a different halacha to the halacha of zimun. We learned mita shenignava chetzio oisha abdechetzio. If there was a bed that was tummy, that half of it was stolen or half of it was lost, oisha chukua achen ashutfen, or let's say brothers or partners, they split the bed. So tahara, it's tar because it's not a whole kli anymore. Once it's broken, it becomes tar. Hechsiru, but if they put the bed back together again, mekabelas tuma mekan labas. And now from here on, so it's susceptible to tuma because it's a regular kli which could become tummy. So the diik is mekan labo in lamafrei aloi. That only from here on, now that it's back together as a full vessel, it could be mekabel tuma. But it retroactively, it doesn't go back to the tuma that it originally had. Almost, the Rebbe says, so you see from there, that kiven to balgua paruch la tumimine. Since it was split, so the original tumah that was on it, it departed from it, and although it's put back together again, it doesn't come back again. It doesn't resume to have that tumah. So achinami kiven to azmalayu paruch zimun minayu. Here also, that once he already answered the zimun to his original group, so therefore the chiyuv of zimun departed from him. So although he wasn't yotze, so to speak, because he didn't hear the whole bracha till azan zakol, so although he's coming back together again, so to speak, bringing back the full vessel, when you have three people again who have the chiyuv of zimun, it doesn't come back. It's just like the halacha of tumah. And therefore, although that we find by the bed that once the shem mita, the name bed was removed from it, and therefore the tumah is also removed, so although it's returned, the name, the bed comes back together again, but the tumah doesn't come back here also. That once the name of three is removed from, because now one removed from the other two, and the shem zimun that he answered with the original three, although now he comes back to three that also weren't yitzah yet, they didn't, the chiyuv zimun does not come back, even if they didn't do a full-fledged zimun, that doesn't come back, similar to the halacha that there was by the tumah. So now the Gemara continues quoting from the Mishnah that said, Beis Chaburis, that if there's two groups, that then they could join each other if they could be able to see each other, and then they can make one big zimun. If not, then they have to make their own zimun. So the Gemara says, Tana im yesh shamash b'nayin, shamash b'tzarfen. If there is a waiter between them that's serving both groups, so then the waiter could join them. And that is, although they can't even see each other, although we said that it has to be that they have to be able to see each other, but if there's a waiter that's serving both of them, even if they don't see each other, for example, if let's say there's a curtain between them, there's a mechitza, still that will join them together. So Taisa says, similarly by a base chasana, by chasnas, that when they're eating in the chuppah, there's two different houses, possibly for the men or the women, and there's waiters that go ahead and serving both parties, so then they could join together as long as they can hear the birchas hamazon from the one that's benching, they could be yaitza because that joins them together, just like seeing each other does that. So then the Gemara quotes again from the Mishnah that says, "Im mevarchen al yayin," the Mishnah ended that you don't make a bracha on the wine until you put in water. And that was the machlokes we had over there, that if it needs to be diluted or not, what is the halacha regarding if you can make a bracha on wine if it's undiluted? So the Gemara brings a brayso. Turn a bun. Yayin, actually nosen l'teichem mayim, im mevarchen l'boi per agofen el boi per eitz. That says that wine, until you put it in water into it that you diluted, you don't make a boi per agofen. Rather, you're going to make a boi per eitz. And that is because since their wine was very strong and it wasn't fit to drink without water, so therefore it's like in the beginning of Kitzim Avarchim, the Gemara discusses why wine gets its own bracha by Paragraph, because it's called Ishtani Malyus, it changes for the better. But here it didn't change for the better yet because it's not fit to drink yet as wine because it's too strong, so therefore it wasn't removed yet from its original bracha, and therefore it's like grapes, which its bracha is by Pura Eitz. Then the Braisa continues, you could even use the wine for washing your hands because it's called, it has the name of water on it, because it's just like regular fruit juices. It's not called wine yet, because wine is something that's fit to drinking, and here it's not fit to drinking, so it's just like other fruit juices which you could use, and it's called mayim, that you need to use water for Netilas Yadayim, has to be with mayim, and that fruit juices are called mei peiros, the fruits, the water of the fruits. This is, so to speak, water of fruits. It's not wine yet because it's not fit to drink. However, but once you already put in water into it, you dilute it, now it's fit to drink. Then, so now you would already make a bar piragofen, and you wouldn't wash your hands with it. That is the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer, because now that it has the shame yayin in it, you can't wash your hands with wine, you have to wash it with mayim, and now it doesn't have mei peiros anymore, now it's a new category of yayin. They say, either case, whether it's diluted or undiluted, you would make a bar on it, and you cannot wash your hands with it for Netilas Yadayim. So the Gemara asks, Kaman Ozlo Hada Amar Shmuel, who does Shmuel hold like when he said the following halacha, that Oisa Adam Kal Tzracha Bepas, a person could do all his needs with bread? So the Gemara says, Kaman Rebbe Eliezer. It's like Rebbe Eliezer, that he says you could take wine, so to speak, and wash your hands with it, and he's not concerned about that it's going to be considered hefsed eichel, it's going to be ruining a food item. So therefore, similar, he would hold that you could use bread for other needs, that if you have to, so to speak, clean up something, you could use a piece of bread. He's not concerned that you're ruining food. So the Gemara says, Amar b'yos Reb Chanina, Moedim Chacham Rebbe Eliezer b'kei shel bracha. The Chachamim, although they disagree with Rebbe Eliezer, and they hold that even if it's not diluted, that you could still make a bit of priagofen on it, and you can't use it for washing your hands like regular wine, but they agreed him by a kushal bracha, which the kush that's used for a bracha, for example, for the bracha of Birchas HaMazon, where you're making a bracha by a priagofen in the context of a bracha. She'im avarchin olav ashi'in l'teichamim, that there you cannot make a bracha on it, until you put in water in it. My time, what's the reason? If they consider it wine, so the Gemara says, Rav Yishe be'inan mitzvah minam mufcher, because we need to have a mitzvah that's the choicest, and therefore, although wine is wine when it's undiluted, but it is still very strong, and the ultimate is when it's diluted. That's why for Kishal Bracha, you would have to dilute it, even according to the Chacham. So then the Gemara asks, but Rabbanan l'may chazi, for what is it fit? When you have undiluted wine, why does it have the halacha of bar piragofen? It's not fit for drinking, to be able to make a bracha of bay piragofen because it's too strong. So Rabbi Zeir chazal karaiti. It's still fit for what's called karaiti, which is a certain beverage which had many different ingredients and spices, and one of the ingredients was undiluted wine. And therefore, since in that context it's fit to drink, so therefore it's still considered yayin, and that's why you make a bay piragofen again, although it's still very strong, and we wouldn't use it for kesha bracha. But if you do drink it, you will make a bay piragofen, and it has the shame yayin, and that's why you can't use it to wash until you die. So along this theme that we mentioned regarding using food items for edible purposes, for example, if you want to use it for kol tzrachav, like we said in the past, or to wash one's hands with it. So the Gemara discusses four different things regarding bread, how the chashivas and covered we have to bread. Tana ban, dal devarim nemer pas. There were four things that were said regarding bread. One, ein manichin basar chaya al pas. You can't put raw meat on bread because that ruins the bread. Second of them, you don't pass over a full cup of wine that's brimming with wine over the bread, because what happens is that we're concerned that maybe it's going to spill on the bread, and again, the bread is going to be disgraced, it's going to ruin the bread. The third thing was, we don't throw bread. And the fourth one is, you don't support a tray with a piece of bread. In other words, if let's say it's a shaky tray and you put a piece of bread under it, it's not covered for bread to do that, and therefore you can't support it with. So the Gemara brings a story related to this, that a Maimer Mazdut Ravashi, Kochu Riftabad Bahadi Adoni, these three Amarom were sitting and making a meal together. Aisil Kamayu Tamibri Maini. So they brought in front of them dates and pomegranates. So Shokal Mazutra Pasik Likamed Ravashi Distina. So Mazutra went and he threw in front of Ravashi Distina, which is like a piece of cooked meat. and he threw that in front of Ravashi. So Malay, like Sabala Mar Lohad Tanya and Zergin Zaikan, don't you hold to the Aloha that we mentioned previous in our Gemara that you don't throw food? What is it? How are you throwing this piece of meat towards me? So he answered Mahiba Pastani. That Aloha was only said regarding bread. And therefore I'm allowed to throw to you a piece of meat. But then he asked, Vatan, we learned the Braisa, Kashem Shein Zergin Zapas, Kachin Zergin Zaikan. The Braisa says, just like we don't throw bread, we don't throw any other food. So how can you say it's just by bread? So Malay, but then he responded to him, but we learned the Braisa, that Alpha Pisha ain't Zerkin as a pass, that even though you cannot throw bread, Alpha Zerkin is Zerkin, but you could throw food. So how do we resolve the contradictory Braises? Eloi Kasha, rather it's not a difficulty, and now you'll understand why I threw the piece of meat, Habib Midi Dim Mamis, Habib Midi Deloi Mamis, that this one is talking about when it renders it repulsive, and this one is talking about when it doesn't render it repulsive. In other words, when if you would throw something, it would get smashed when it would be thrown. For example, if you have figs that were totally ripe and matured and berries, when you throw it, it'll splatter. Therefore, that's going to get ruined. That you're not allowed to throw, and that'll be just like bread. But something that does not get disgusted when you throw it, for example, a pomegranate or a walnut or anything that's hard like a piece of meat, that you're allowed to throw because it won't ruin, it won't render it repulsive. And that's why I was allowed to throw to you the piece of meat. It's just bread and things that get disgusted and repulsive when you throw that it's a problem. So the Gemara brings a braisa related to this sugya. Turn up on. Mamshichin yain b'tzinoris lefnei chasnim lefnei kala. They would flow the wine through pipes in front of a chasnim and a kala. Like they have sometimes these arrangements where there are things that are coming through the different pipes, and they would put wine through these things because it's like a simen toiv, because wine is always a simen bracha. So it's not considered bezayin or a hefset, a loss to food, because what happens is it would come and be received in the pipes in a vessel, and it would go through this whole system. It wouldn't get ruined, but they would do it through the pipes as a sign of simcha and simen toiv b'chasen kalam. Moreover, v'zoikin lefneim kloyes v'agoyzim v'meisachamba. They would throw in front of the chasen kalam roasted grain and walnuts in the summer days, where there's no cemented, that the roads were not all muddy, so therefore these things are not going to get ruined. But not during the winter months, because then the roasted grain and the walnuts are going to get ruined in the mud. Aval, although they did these things with food items, again as a sign of simen and bracha, and this was things that wouldn't get ruined, but you can't do this with baked rolls, and that is this is even in the not in the summer months and not in the winter months, because even in the summer months they get ruined when they throw it, a roll or something that if it's going to fall on the floor it's going to get ruined, and that's why we have to be careful, for example by an ufruf, when people are throwing these things, these pekalach at the chasen, that if it's something that can get ruined, if it's, let's say, raisins in there or something, but they're not packed in the box or whatever it is, it's just like bread that we're not allowed to throw it. And similarly here with the baked rolls, although they were throwing these roasted kernels, roasted grain and walnuts during the summer months, not during the winter months, but stuff like rolls, you can't throw it because it's going to get ruined. So it's something you have to be careful not to do because of the bezoin and the hesed of the yechel. So related to this topic, the Gemara that was speaking about things that get ruined, food items that we don't want to ruin food items, it's a very precious commodity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the bracha food. So it's related to the halacha about someone that forgot to make a bracha. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, shachach v'hichnes oichlen teich piv b'lei bracha. Let's say someone forgot, and he put a food item into his mouth without a bracha. He thought he made a bracha, he thought it was part of that meal. Anyways, it comes out he has to make a bracha, but he forgot to. So mesalkel inside echad mevarach, so he puts it to one side of his mouth, and then when it's in the mouth, he says the bracha when it's there. So the Gemara brings three contradictory braises regarding the salacha. Tanya chada balon. One braise said that you swallow it, that is without a bracha. Another braisa says that you spit it out, and then you make a bracha, then you go ahead and you eat again. Another braisa says, misalkin, that you move it to one side of the mouth. How do we resolve these three different opinions? So the Gemara says, loy kasha, it depends. This is what we said, that you swallow it even without a bracha. That's by beverages. That you swallow it because you can't move it to one side of your cheek and make a bracha. With liquid, you can't do that. And you can't spit it out because it's going to be disgusted. You take a cup of Coke and you spit it back out. You're not going to drink that again. So therefore, we say you should swallow it so that you shouldn't ruin the food. This is what we said, that you spit it out. That's something which was related to sugi before, that it doesn't get disgusted, that this that you put in your mouth, and therefore you could spit it out like a candy, and then you make the bracha, and then you put it back into your mouth. This is what we said, that you move it to one side of your mouth, is something that would get ruined. So, but it's still, it's a solid, it's a food item, not a liquid. So therefore, let's say it's a chewed up date or whatever it is, you're going to spit it out, or chewed a piece of meat, it's not so appetizing anymore, you're not going to put it back in. So you move it to one side of the mouth, and you say, and that's the way you do it. So depending on the circumstance, that would define if you're going to spit it out, swallow it, or move it to one side of the mouth. So now the Gemara continues on the Nun Aleph, on the top of the Amid, that b'midi d'loy mimis, the Gemara asks, so even something that doesn't get disgusted, you should also move it to one side and make a bracha. And that is, why do I need to spit it out? Let's say the candy. Let's just move it to one side. We see that when it's something repulsive, if you would spit it out, you could just move it to one side. So why do we make you spit out the candy and get your fingers all sticky? Just move it to one side and make the bracha. So the Gemara says, because there's a pasuk that says, yimale fi selosachem, that my mouth should be filled with your praise, and therefore it should be full. There should be nothing in my mouth when I say a bracha. People have to be careful and conscious about that. If you're chewing gum or something, you take that out. Your mouth should not have anything else in it but, the, so to speak, the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why when you can, you take out the candy and you make the bracha and then you put it back in. It's only when you can't that we let you move it to the side. Similar type of halacha, the Gemara says, B'yim name Rav Chizda, they asked Rav Chizda, Misha'ocha v'shasav lei berach. If someone was eating and drinking and they forgot to make a bracha, and this is the bracha rishayna, for example, hamaitzi or making a bracha on wine, what is the halacha? He go back and make a bracha in the middle of eating. So Amalahusay said to them, Misha ochel shum. If someone ate garlic, v'reche noidiv, and his breath smells now. So yachsav v'yechel shum acher k'dei yishei reche noidiv. So now he should eat more garlic so his breath should smell even more. In other words, of course you should go ahead and make a bracha. What are you continuing to eat? So of course you should now, you made a mistake, you should make another mistake. So Ravina said, hilchach, therefore, if that's the case, that if someone remembers in the middle of eating, he can make a bracha, so then even if he finishes his meal, he also could go back and still make the bracha of hamaitzi and wine, even though he finished his meal already. And he brings a raya, the Tanya, he's learning the braisa, regarding, as Rashi says, if it's a balkeri, that someone has a seminal emission, and he has to do a tefillah, like Taisa says, that it's a ger, that has to do his tefillah as part of his conversion process. Either way, it says a tov of Allah, that he immerses himself, and he comes up, and Oymer Bal Yose, he says, after he comes out of the mikveh, then he says, Baruch Hashem Kedushanu b'mitzvayis v'tzvon al tefillah. Hashem should be blessed that he sanctified us with his mitzvahs and he commanded us on the tefillah. And that is, we see from here, that although the person already did the tefillah, it's still considered a bracha, in spite of the fact that he already did it already. So therefore you see that I can make a bracha on hamaitzi or a bar priyakov, even though I already did it already. So because you see over here that the person is making a bracha on the tefillah, even though it was done. Rashi says, v'lohi, it's not true, it's not a good proof. Because Hasim over there regarding either about Keri or Ger, mi kara gavar lechazi. From initially, the person was not fit to make the bracha. The Balkari is not supposed to say Devar Misha Bekdusha. And the Ger is not a Yid yet. Either one needs the tefillah, so to speak, to be fitting to make the bracha. Hacha mi kara gavri chazi. Here, originally, the person was fit to make a bracha. It's just that he forgot to. So therefore, v'hoil v'itchi itchi, which is a famous klal in the Gemara that says, once it's excluded, it's excluded. And that is, as Rashi says, most of these tefillahs were for Keri, for the certain tumah. And the Balkari is also to make a bracha, because they're words of Torah, as the Gemara says in the Afchof and Mabez. And therefore, the klal that we always mention, it comes up a lot in, regarding Kodshim, that dichu mi'ikara lav dichu. If something was excluded from its outset, that's not considered excluded. And then when it's fit, then you'll go ahead and you do it. Therefore, here, since once he's mesaken, then he can go back and make a bracha. But here, where initially the person was fit, once that's finished, so then it's already pushed off. And once it's pushed off, it's pushed off, because here the person again was able to make the bracha. He just forgot, and now that he finished eating, it's already too late. Versus again by the tefillah, where the ger and the balkari were not fit initially to do it. So therefore, once they're fit to do it after the tefillah, then they can make the bracha on the tefillah. And there is no proof that once you finish eating that you can still make the bracha. And therefore, you can't make a bracha once you finish eating. It's already too late. It's only in middle that then, of course, when you continue eating, of course, you would make a bracha for the rest. So what we learn from our Gemara is that if a person forgot to make a bracha and it's in his mouth, so there's three different ways to do it. There's beverages and food items. It would depend if it gets ruined or not. And we learned that if something is over already, so then it's itchi, it's already too late. You can't do it. It's only if someone that was not fit from the outset, now he is fit, like by the tefillah of the Balkir and the Geret, so then they could still go ahead and make their bracha on the tefillah versus if someone finishes eating already, since he was fit all along to do it. So now once he was itchi, once he's excluded, he's excluded and it's too late.